Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Want to bring in my next guest and my colleague on the New York Knicks radio broadcast, our play-by-play announcer for MSG Networks and right here on 98.7 ESPN New York, Ed Cohen giving us a few minutes. Ed, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Pat. Good morning.
Always good to talk to you in the off season. I know you guys have been busy over there at MSG bringing us the summer league action out in Vegas. You and Brendan Brown doing a great job as always. So I want to start there with what you've seen so far from these young kids, because that's such a big part of the story as we look ahead to the next season, and just what your initial reactions are of what you've seen so far out there in the summer league.
Well, Pat, obviously the big story, if you had to prioritize, hey, what's everyone looking for in summer league with the Knicks? If you had to pick the top three things, they all probably started and ended with R.J. Barrett, right? Because this is our first chance to see him against the next level of competition. And we've documented the struggles he had the first two games. But I think if you take the fourth quarter of that third game against Toronto, and then you look at what he did the next night against the Lakers, which was by far his best performance, the game began to slow down for him in terms of when to attack, how to go right, if he was doubled, how to look for guys on the perimeter and make that extra pass. So it's going to come for him. He's a real talent. He wants to be here. The hope is he's a star. And I think the progression he made over those first 6-7 days in the summer league shows that he can get there. And then our guy Iggy, Brazdeikis, hey, the 30-point game. He plays with, I guess this has become cliche, but there's a swagger to his game. He's demonstrative. And, you know, a lot of people knock the Michigan guys, and they say John Beilein was such a great college coach that in a lot of ways he overachieved with players, and that by the time they get to the NBA, they were great in college, but they fit their ceiling. This guy was the freshman of the year in the Big Ten, and he's 20 years old. I think his ceiling can only grow, and the fact that the Knicks were able to move up and get him is a great sign.
Ed, last year, the guy in the position, as you just described R.J. Barrett this year, was Kevin Knox, the Knicks lottery pick last year. He performed very well in summer league. And then, of course, he had what I think was a typical rookie season this year. He had some very good moments, rookie of the month in December, and he had some tough stretches as well. He's kind of playing in anonymity a little bit because all the focus, as you said, is on Barrett. But as you look at Knox's game, as he gets ready for year two, how does he look?
You know, that three-point shot pad is still there, and it was good at the end of last season. I think, if anything, it was more the decision-making, the consistency. You want to see his field goal percentage go up. You want to see him locked in consistently on the defensive end. The summer league in 2018, it's so funny because he had some electrifying dunks and was great from three-point range. He only shot 35%. And we have an itch as NBA fans and people covering the game to get our fix in the summer. And when we see something great, we get so excited. And a lot of times that taste lingers into the next season. I don't know if that was the best thing for Kevin Knox, because as you said, there were great moments in his rookie year, and there were times where he really struggled. I hope that there's something more in between here in year two.
Mitchell Robinson, you get the impression this is the last time he's going to play in the summer league. Now, Mitchell Robinson was, you know, Mitchell Robinson was a great story last year. We spoke about him all the time. He was a favorite of your partner, Brendan Brown, on the radio broadcasts because, you know, we know the story, not playing the year before, and then his development and watching it before our eyes was great to see. But now he goes from that, Ed, to presumably the starting center on an NBA team. Is he ready to take that step?
I think he is. I think the end of last season showed that, Pat. Just his ability to stay in games, be consistent. And look, it's hard when you're playing in a 17-win season. Those last 2 weeks, you're facing teams that are fighting for a playoff spot. You're facing other teams that are in a similar position. And the Knicks faced a lot of those teams down the stretch. But I think his numbers, the consistent level he reached those last 10 games or so, starting the final, I think it was 7 games, that leads to the next season, which is a good thing. And there's so much talk now of, can he expand his range? We haven't seen it yet, and you don't want to put somebody in a spot and say, hey, you need to play this way so we can extend the floor and you can become a modern-day center. I don't think that's fair for a guy who's just 21 years old and is still getting a C-well with the NBA. But he made enormous strides from the beginning of last season as a person, as a player, and I think it's his show right now. That's probably the one thing in free agency the Knicks didn't address entirely. Getting a consistent backup center behind him. He might be able to go smaller with Taj Gibson or Bobby Portis, but this is Mitchell Robinson's time to get to a place where he's playing over 30 minutes a game.
It's really going to be fun to watch that next step in his development. Ed Cohen, the radio play-by-play voice of the Knicks for MSG Networks and right here on 98.7 ESPN New York, talking some Knicks as we look ahead to the upcoming season. Now let's talk about the guys who aren't there at Summer League, or at least they aren't there playing. And, of course, the host of free agents that the Knicks did bring in, and that class is headlined by Julius Randle. Now, Randle coming off his best season, and the thing that excites me the most, Ed, is pairing him with Mitchell Robinson in those 4 and 5 spots. I don't know if there's another tandem in the NBA that brings the athleticism and the ability to run the floor as these two guys. What do you think about that duo?
That's a lot of bounce, Pat. That's a lot of bounce. And look, Julius Randle's coming from a season in which at the beginning of the year, he's playing alongside Anthony Davis. And for whatever reason, it didn't translate for the Pelicans last year. Because on paper, you went into the year thinking, okay, you had a guy like Randle on a one-year contract. This team could be really good. And it just didn't manifest itself by the time January came along and Davis had made his trade request. That was it. But Julius Randle's a fun guy to watch, a lefty, tough to guard. And then you think of, he's only 24 years old. He's 6'9", and he lost the first year of his career. And it took him another year, really, to get back from that. I think it was his right tibia to get back from that injury. Played 14 minutes. So the first 3-4 years of his career out in L.A. were very incomplete. But you started to see him turn the page, that fourth season, his last one in Los Angeles. Brenda mentioned it on the Summer League telecast the other night. You know, the Knicks had that road trip in Jeff Hornacek's last year where they were out in Los Angeles. They lost that game against the Lakers. And the Knicks brass said, we need more athleticism. And part of it was having seen what Julius Randle was able to do against the Knicks that day. So it's exciting to have a guy like this here in New York who is young and can still get a lot better.
And when you look at guys, even at the point guard position, Elfrid Payton comes in, Dennis Smith Jr., we hope that he's healthy. He was nicked up the end of last year. Up and down the roster, Ed, I think there's a lot more athleticism than we're used to seeing on this Knicks roster.
There's potential, Pat, no doubt about it. And last year, the roster was designed to see if, take a flyer on a couple guys, can they reach the potential that we thought they had a few years ago in the draft? And it was Noah Vonleh, Emmanuel Mudiay, Mario Hezonja, which is all well and good, and they've all landed in even better situations this coming season. But I think you take into account the guys they brought in now, this is a much better roster on paper. They're deeper at probably 3 more positions than they were last year. I think at point guard with Payton, certainly at the wing, and we know how many power forwards they brought in, but that might give them the flexibility inside. And I think that creates a lot of excitement that if one of these guys can really hit, take the next step and seize on some of the upside that we've felt about them for a long time, going back to their respective drafts, then who knows what this Knicks team can be in an Eastern Conference that's wide open, especially at the bottom.
Absolutely. And if you look at the Knicks roster, to your point, Ed, I mean, David Fizdale's going to have some options because, you know, let's say Randall's the top dog on the roster. But after that, if you go 2 through 10, there's not a lot of difference between the number 2 guy on the team and the number 10 guy on the team. So if one guy doesn't have it on one night, Fizdale's going to have other places to go. It's a very deep team that he's going to have at his disposal, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the early months are going to be really captivating because, number one, I think that there's going to be an energy and excitement where they're going to go out and play really hard and try to prove to the rest of the NBA what they can be. But to follow up your point, Pat, at some point, you're going to want to get to a consistent rotation by January and February, right? That's any NBA team that has success in this league. You have to have defined roles as you turn the halfway point of the season. And, yeah, if someone's not allowing you to stretch the floor, isn't knocking down shots consistently, especially a power forward now with a guy like Marcus Morris. I mean, he's a great shooter. And if you're losing that when he's not on the floor, that could impact how the minutes are divvied out. So, yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting, the competition at a number of spots, even for the younger guys who played a lot last year. Those roles by no means are set in stone.
Ed, in the old days, the play-by-play announcers could probably hold on to their charts for 2, 3, 4, 5 years and make some changes to it a little bit at a time in the offseason. Do you, as a play-by-play man, just throw out all your charts now for every single team and start fresh with everything that's gone on around the NBA?
If you ask the people in my life, they will tell you that I probably saved too many of these charts. And I'm sure you do the same. We're all nostalgic and appreciate the work that we put in. But yeah, I've learned over time, pencil is a great tool versus pen. And I find myself scribbling in pencil a little bit more in case things change. But no, I think the rosters certainly have evolved in recent years with the Knicks. And yeah, well, we have 7 free agents, 2 rookies. So the ones who are coming back, some of those guys were rookies last year. It is certainly a new group compared to a couple of years ago. I think Frank Ntilikina and Damian Dotson are the only guys still on the roster going back to the beginning of the season in 2017.
That's unbelievable. Point. That is unbelievable, the turnover. But it's league-wide, really, though. It's league-wide.
You look at free agency. I mean, the Knicks had $70 million to spend. And, you know, it's a whole other conversation of why they had that much money and who didn't come here, but that gives you a lot of opportunity when so many players are hitting the free agent market to bring in 7 new guys. And I think the other part of it, too, is you're seeing a lot of teams hit on their second-round picks. So the Knicks the last few years with Hernan Gomez, Dotson, Mitchell Robinson, Iggy Brazdeikis, these guys are making the roster. And I think teams are going in that direction of, hey, if it's not working with a guy 3, 4 years in the league, let's see what we have here in this guy we picked, you know, in the 30s, the 40s, of the second round.
I want to ask you about the movement out west. When you look at all the changes that have happened there and all these power couples that are now teaming up, is there one team that you look at, Ed, that you think is set up maybe better than the rest, or is it still too early to tell?
You know, I was thinking of adjectives that are as PG as possible to describe the West, but I don't know how you think anything other than it's going to be a bloodbath out there. I mean, it is unbelievable to look up and down and see the amount of talent that's in the Western Conference. And, Pat, you talked about the power couples. The Lakers got significantly better. The Clippers are significantly better. The Rockets last year were probably the biggest threat to the Warriors, and it didn't work out even when Kevin Durant went down. They're better now with Russell Westbrook versus Chris Paul. Zion Williamson is now in the West. The Jazz added Mike Conley. They're better. And Bojan Bogdanović. It's a great signing from Indiana. The Trailblazers are deeper. You could really make a case, and it's unbelievable to say this, that the top 6 or 7 teams in the West could be better if you put them in a series against the top team in the East. And I would think that's Milwaukee right now after Kawhi went to the Clippers. But that's what we've known for years, the West is better than the East. That's pretty incredible. I think the top 7 teams in the West could all be better in some spots than the best team in the East.
It's unbelievable. It's going to be fun to watch. And before long, we'll be getting ready for opening night at Madison Square Garden. So enjoy the rest of your summer, and we'll catch up with you down the line, Ed. Thanks a lot for a few minutes.
I'm going to sneak back in. My wife loves Serena. I hope the Wimbledon final's still going.
Well, if she loves Serena, unfortunately, she's going to be a little disappointed right now because it's over.
It's over. I got a real-time update. Thank you.
All right, Ed. Thanks again.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.